I really just wanted to ring the trade bell to see if it would have a physical reaction with Sam Edmund. Hello to you, Sam.
Some sort of sick joke, Jerry. Yes. You come back from leave and you dump this on me? I mean, I've been diagnosed, you realise this, PTTSD. It's post-traumatic trade stress disorder after what can only be described as a fair old grind during this window, Jared.
I went through my notes this morning. We first rang the trade bell at the start of August and you said that day that there was an incumbence to what was about to unfold, and it was the COVID salary cap reductions were going to mean that there just wasn't the capacity to be either aggressive or creative. And that's how it panned out. It was frustrating on two fronts. Is the modern construct of the game thrives in this area. Now, whether it should or it shouldn't actually doesn't matter. It just does. But the second is, to get improvement, it doesn't come instantly through the draft. That's a futures project. The only way to improve from season to season is additions through the trade period, and that hasn't been able to happen. This period hasn't served the game well at all.
No, you're right. And this is the big lever that clubs can pull, Exhibit A being Hawthorn, who want to fast-track their regeneration under Sam Mitchell, turn the list over, but they were stuck. The players they wanted to move on, they couldn't move on, even when they were willing to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars towards their salary, a la Collingwood and Adam Treloar, but they couldn't make it happen this year. The AFL loved the player movement space as much as anyone, Jared, but unfortunately, the steps they had to put in place off the back of COVID were such that we forecast that cash was tight, list spots were tight. In fact, clubs were in debt at the start of the year and trying to bail money out of the water, out of the boat to make it all fit for this year, let alone bringing in the big fish. So we had the 20 trades in the end, all the 20 players changed clubs over the free agency and trade windows, a few pick swaps as well. So we didn't have the headline items that we had 12 months prior. There was probably enough intrigue within the deals we did have. And look, what we've got now is a bunch of players in limbo here, stacks of players, in fact, who are looking for another chance, who in years gone by would have got that chance. But this year, for the reasons we've just articulated, are really up against it now. And I speak of guys like Dumont, Constable, Brander, Hartlett, Gibbons, the list goes on and on. Players who probably would have found a home in the trade period are now waiting in the wind.
So the game needs more, the clubs need more, the players need more. And frankly, the fans need more. So this is the bit around player mobility that's grown. And I was a slow adapter to this, but got there several years ago.
Yep.
It's just so much fun.
It's fantasy.
There was no fun to be had. And this is why the whole concept of the trade bell is the play, the fun that we get through, and the creative minds and the ridiculous ideas and the underground rumour that you may have heard is just none of it got played out. So I think if you're in at the AFL, you'd be going, okay, so what do we need to do to make sure that we don't regress to that? Because it doesn't suit the game at all.
Well, we need the game to come back to financial level that the clubs are comfortable with. They've got room in their lists. They've got room when it comes to the salary cap, and they've got room to make these deals happen. In many ways, and it's been articulated, we've got a trade period now that is as much around trading to find room in your bank balance as opposed to bringing in your headline item from a player perspective. And we saw that from the Gold Coast, who just simply had to offload players to create salary cap room after the COVID cuts that came in and the pay deferrals that were put in place from clubs across the competition. So, as I said, Hawthorn did their bit. They tried to make something happen. They couldn't in the end. We saw Lachie Neal came and left as quick as he did come in the end. So we didn't really have even any really sort of bad blood either, did we? I mean, the main source of frustration centered on Jordan Clark, and there was angst between Geelong and Fremantle. We had a little bit of bad blood between North Melbourne and St Kilda, that haggle over Tristan Sherry, who the Kangas refused to hand over on the cheap. Otherwise, a lot of deals that did get done as well happened in good faith, Jared, and they go on their merry way. So 20 players in the end pulling on new colours for next year.
So there are two central contemplations which now I think have to be brought forward. They're in the background, and sometimes I think the AFL doesn't quite know whether should it or shouldn't it and then how. But the two are, there must be a mid-season trade period. And the second is we have to get to the point where players can be traded without consent.
Poor.
So you are guaranteed tenure and you are guaranteed finance. So your participation in the AFL is guaranteed, but you are not guaranteed the geography and the club. And this is so if Hawthorn wanted to move for the good of their aspiration, for their ambition, for their planning, they are able to move.
So Luke Bruce goes against his wish. Chad Wingard goes against his...
So it takes a cultural shift and it takes a financial shift as well. I think you have to wash more money through the salary cap to because have that they be agreeable.
They were going to get their money at GWS.
Yep.
A lot of it from Hawthorn, as we say, and then the rest from GWS spread over the extended period of their contract. 2 years to go. They might have got a three-year deal. Luke Bruce, that was the case in play with him. And Hawthorn were going to stump up several hundred thousand dollars. So they were going to get their money. The AFLPA with this, speak in a tone that suggests this isn't coming in anytime soon.
Yeah, players being traded against out against the world standard. This is unique. So this is the only this is the only competition, the only elite competition in a country that shouldn't go down this path.
And mid-season draft as well, although you can see that coming in earlier. But again, the PA and others talk around the sense of players being uprooted mid-season. But this is a professional sporting organisation.
So are we going to hold back player mobility to the point that we just experienced, which was intolerable for every stakeholder, found it intolerable, most of all the fans?
It was hard work.
So... are we going to hold that back forever because we don't either have the stomach or the imagination for it? Or are we going to go, this is actually what modern professional sport looks like. It's time to get moving.
Mm. And so players can be traded at any juncture of their contract.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if Luke Bruce had gone to Hawthorn and said, I'm out, I want to go and be traded.
Well, then he goes.
Yeah. So why not the other
way
around?
Not only does he go Bobby Hill style to move to Victoria, but he nominates his club specifically in Essendon. Even though Collingwood mount their offer, they don't come into the picture because the player himself. So it all gets back to who holds the whip hand, doesn't it, in this situation? It tends to be the players when they want out.
Yeah.
But then when the club wants to move a player out, then if the player refuses, then there's no dice.
So I just think the case study we live through, that's the old world. Is that really where we want to reside? Because it feels to me like everybody was dissatisfied with it.
Mm.
Everybody.
Mm.
If they're honest about it. From the players down.
Yeah, it was a hard watch. It was, but for all the reasons that we put in place. So people who argue with you, Jared, will say, well, this was extenuating circumstances that all things being equal in the near future, hopefully we can emerge from and we get back to sort of parity and a normal state of play when it comes to the trade period, which was 12 months earlier, relatively busy. With some big names.
Well, it was quite wild with stuff we hadn't seen before. So which one do you want? I just think the more it's hypercharged, the better it is for the game. And we've just lived through what the doldrums is, and it doesn't serve anyone.
I would have found it easier if players were traded against their will, Jared. We all would have on my side of the fence. We would have had a lot more movement, a lot more things to talk about.
If there's any cause to ring the trade bell over the next 6 weeks, I'm going to do it. Sam, it's nice to see you.
Well, it's sort of nice to see you, Jared. Thanks for dragging me back in to revisit all that. We will keep our eye as well on the delisted free agents, several of which I mentioned earlier, which the window runs November 3 to November 9 and then November 11 to November 15 for those delisted free agents.
Sam Edmund with the trade bell.